Let's pray. Get kicked off. Tell me, Father God, I thank you for your love. I thank you, Lord God, that you love us so much. And as my heart, I realize, Lord, oftentimes it's in spite of us. You still love us through our hurts, our pains, our struggles, our life. We thank you for that, God. I pray that today we would look to you and that you would allow us to just continue to focus on you and see how we can go beyond what we can imagine, allowing you to work in and through our lives to make a difference. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So today, I am going to share with you one of what I would say my flaws or struggles, or what I like to label as my nemesis for life, and that is sugary desserts. It's a big nemesis of mine. I have struggled for years seeing cookies and cake and ice cream, and it's I love it. And so what's interesting is when we have some around, I was always, as a kid, you know, you always want to, when there's a plate of cookies or there's cake, I want to make sure that my piece was as big as the others. I had the same amount of cookies as everybody else. I found myself counting cookies. All right, you had how many cookies? All right, I got to make sure I got that many too. And so I found myself always wanting to make sure I had enough. And for me, even really, one time a year that this really begins to be heightened more than any other, and I know you're thinking, you know, maybe Halloween or Christmas. I'm really thinking the springtime, right around the time that someone knocks on your door and they sell Girl Scout cookies. That's when we really have problems, because you get these boxes, you have to stock up on them because you only get them once a year. And so you want them to last as long as they can, but they don't because they're so delicious. And so what you end up doing is you get the boxes, you open it up, and you realize first that there's not nearly as many cookies in there as you would like there to be. But then you have everybody crowding around. It's like they get delivered. It's like everybody in the house, you just all come together and you're just kind of hovering over the cookies, and everybody wants them, and everybody wants like five, and we're trying to divvy them up. So I used to always have this problem where I'd always kind of count, make sure, okay, now how many are you getting and how many are you getting? Because I wanted to make sure I had as much as everybody else. I'm really embarrassed to say that, you know, that I really genuinely would do that. In fact, it would get some bad sometimes to where I would actually take the cookies, and once everybody's gotten their two or three cookies that we've all evened out, I would take them and I kind of hide them. And I would, of course, I was hiding them because I didn't want other people to go in and get them and just eat a whole bunch. No, I found I would hide them and make sure that that didn't happen. And I'm just really embarrassed to say that because that's awful. I was robbing people of joy of delicious Girl Scout cookies. And that's just not good. And unfortunately, I don't really want my life to be that way. In fact, oftentimes I feel like that is one of my struggles in trying to hang on to things. And in fact, it's a little strange because for me, I am a giving person when it comes to my time. And I'm a giving person, even financially to a point. In fact, when I was 12 years old, I committed giving to my church $1 a week. Now, I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but for a 12-year-old kid who all you have is an allowance, it ended up being a lot. But I always kind of felt like, okay, my money is God's money, so I want to make sure that I give first to him and all of that. But for me, my struggle really has come out of this idea of giving possessions, giving things, you know, having enough of the things that I want. And so it's been a hard time. In fact, I can remember so many times when there's a need, oftentimes my first response was to give, but it was to give my leftovers, not so much in just giving what they needed. I typically found I give my leftovers. I wouldn't always give them my best, and I wouldn't always, or I give them what they need. I felt like sometimes I just give them what I could spare. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I don't need that, or I don't want that as much. The truth is, I really want to be known for somebody that's a generous giving person. I want to be known for that, that I love and care for people by the way that I give. And God has really been changing my heart over this over the years, growing me in that area, as well as helping me realize that I still have a long way to go. But giving is so important. Being generous is so important. And the idea is that when it comes to serving others, I realize it's so much more than just doing something nice for someone. You see, when I think about serving, I realize serving really starts with the heart. Serving others starts with the heart. And I think that's where that comes from, because for me, when I would only give out of leftovers, that was on my heart. That was on me. And so I find that I want to be a reflection of how I feel about others, how I love others, a reflection of God. And when I only give out of my leftovers, I find that my reflection of who God is isn't near as big or as good as it needs to be. So this week, we're going to be really looking about how we can go beyond our walls as a church and serve others. And so we're hitting kind of week three here. And the first week, Tim, he talked about this idea that beyond is an eternal investment for more people to come to know Jesus. He also highlighted our vision statement, which says we want to be an inviting church for those who are turning to God. With the idea is that we are inviting people to relationship to God and to the church, but we're also, as a place here, we're a welcoming place. We're an inviting church where when people come here, you feel like you can belong and be a part of it. Last week, we talked about how to invest in our next generation is to invest in our future. And the idea that the next generation is the generation we need to invest in, that the future of this next generation is one that can start today to impact this world. You know, we live in a world with hate and hurt and struggle and pain like we've never seen before almost in our country. And I believe the next generation is this generation who can come up and stand up and love people through this process like we've never seen before. And so for us, we want to see that happen. But today, we're going to focus on this idea. That beyond is a strategic investment allowing us to serve our community. So think about it, I wanna do so much more. I wanna do so much more than we could do. I wanna go beyond what we can imagine and I'm able to do. But oftentimes we have to think about what are those things that are keeping us from taking that step? What are the things that may be keeping us from doing that? Maybe not just personally, but even as a church. And we are at a place where I know we want to impact people beyond our walls. We want to do that, but we're going to have to work on some things. And for us, this is a strategic investment for us. And so we want to be doing this by looking at this thought right here. We want to be energizing the mandate to go and make disciples. And by expanding our current partnerships, developing new relationships, and providing for the spiritual and physical needs of those in our community, state, region, and world. You see, the needs in the state are so overwhelming. Pastor Tim, a few weeks ago, told a few of us some of the statistics, the shocking statistics about really where we are as a state. Let me read y'all a few of these. 18% of the population is living in poverty. According to the United Health Foundation, America's health rankings, West Virginia is ranked either last or second to last in 20 health categories. Some of these include cancer, diabetes, disabilities, drug deaths, low birth weight, missed work days due to health, prescription drug overdose, preventable hospitalizations, and even senior clinical care. A study by West Virginia's Marshall University showed that 19% of babies born in the state have evidence of drug or alcohol exposure. West Virginia leads the nation in the opioid overdoses per capita. And more women per capita are incarcerated in West Virginia prisons and jails than any other state. And we look at all this and we think, wow, that's devastating. We have huge problems as a state. And the reality is, yeah, we can look at it that way as problems, but I think we can look at it as opportunities. Opportunities to love people, to walk people through these things in their lives. The idea that we get a chance to serve people in our state and our community. We want to be making progress in all these areas where we can really show love and care for people by financially supporting some of these organizations, as well as maybe getting down and getting our hands dirty and walking alongside and working alongside of them. The truth is, lives are messy. My life is messy. Our lives are messy. Other people, their lives are messy. But we can make a difference if we invest in reaching beyond ourselves and really looking to invest in the life of other people. And I think this is something that our local church really thinks about. I think we think about that on a regular basis. The problem is we're not always doing as well as we think we should, are we? Maybe personally as well as a church. And I think sometimes we always think to ourselves, well, if I just had more time, If we just had more money, if we just had more resources, if we just had more abilities, and maybe we think if we just had all of those things, if the church would just do more, then we'll solve all that. And the truth of it is, that's partly true. I think if we did have more time and more money and more resources and the church would do more that we could partner with, all of those things are true, but the reality of it is so much more than that. Because the reality of it is that making a difference in our community, making a difference in other people's lives, it's not just starting with our finances or starting with the amount of money or time you have. It really starts with your heart. Serving others starts with the heart of where you're at and seeing what God has for you, what God can do and what God wants to do in your life. There's a great story in the book of Mark that talks about this. It talks about the idea that someone who didn't have more money or more resources or more abilities, but they set an example for everyone else. And this is in Mark 12, verse 41 through 44, and it says this. It says, sitting across from the temple treasury, he, meaning Jesus, watched how the crowd dropped money into the treasury. Many rich people were putting in large sums, and a poor widow came and dropped in two tiny coins worth very little. Summoning his disciples, he said to them, I assure you, this poor widow has put in more than all those giving to the temple treasury, for they all gave out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she possessed, all she had to live on. At first glance, it seems like this was all just about money. I'm talking about give money, give money. The reality of it is much more than that. It's about the heart of the story of where this woman was. And the fact that she gave very little, but she gave what she had while the others were given out of their extra. I was reading online, I don't know if you're familiar with the website, gotquestions.org, there's a lot of good things on there, and they mentioned this about this passage. It says this, that the religious officials of the day, instead of helping the widows in need, were perfectly content to rob them of their livelihood and inheritance. The system was corrupt, and the darkness of the scribes' greed makes the widow's sacrifice shine even more brightly. So for me, when I read this passage, I think about that. As that she was a victim and robbed of so much, but she still gave because her heart was truly big and cared for others. She recognized that her life was bigger than herself and it meant more. So reading this passage, I ask myself, am I somebody in my life who holds on to things more than I should? My possessions, my time, my money? The answer to this is, yeah, I am. I hold on to it way more than I should. I'm very guilty of this. I find that I'm afraid of giving up some things. I'm afraid of losing out on something. I'm afraid of not having something that I think I need to have or want to have, like cookies. The reality of it is, it's kind of backwards to how I should be thinking. It really is a little backwards. In fact, Jesus talked about this as well as Paul, and Paul talked about this in 1 Peter chapter 4. He said this, that each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You see, the idea here is that we're all at different places in our life. We all have different gifts, different talents, different passions, different finances. We're all at one of those places where you know, maybe you are someone who has financial resources that can give and beyond. Maybe you're not. But we need to find out whatever gifts we have. God, how can you use those gifts to make me more like you and to love other people? When I was in high school, my parents opened up their home to a family of four. Let them live with us for 6 weeks. In fact, they were buying our home, and we had known them for a while in our life, so they were moving back from across the country. They were moving back, and they were buying our home, and we were moving into another home, and there was about a six-week window where there just was it was going to overlap when they wanted to buy and when they were moving in and when it was going to come. So they said, why don't you just come live with us? I thought it was great having another family there and enjoying that. I did have to share a room with my brother again, and you know, of course, that was fantastic. But the idea there is that you know it was fun having other people there. But my parents showed me the value of reaching out to people, giving up some things we have, giving up some of our space and our house and food and all these things to help someone. And so I was brought up realizing that and thinking like that. My wife was also brought up that way. Her parents opened their home to people all the time. And they gave to people and they reached out to people in need and they were always living that kind of lifestyle. And so for me and my wife, we both kind of naturally gravitate towards that example that they set for us. And so for us, we've always said, all right, God, if we have any extra room in our home, we've opened the door to people. Staying nights, sometimes weeks, sometimes months, and even one college student stayed with us for 2 years. Now, he was an intern at my church in North Carolina, and he stayed with us for about 2 years. It started off as a few weeks and turned into 2 years. But the reality of it was, he was at a place where if he could not afford to pay for living somewhere, we couldn't afford to pay him as a church what we needed to or what we would like to have. And so for him, he was gonna have to move back home if he didn't have a place to stay. And so we're like, you know what? Stay with us. And so he was an intern for a while, and then he ended up becoming part-time on our staff and our student ministry, and then he became full-time as our middle school person. And then after 7 years of investing his life and being part of that, when I came here to the Ridge, he took over my position where I was there. And that's because we simply said, let's just open our door and invest in someone's life. How amazing is that? How incredible is that? And so as I look at it, we think about, we want to love people in such a way that they can truly see that we care. You see, if our heart is really breaking for other people, then we'll want to serve them and want to give more than just our leftovers. And helping and serving others is so much more than about, it's more than about giving money. It's not just saying, here's some money. By the way, that's a good thing. It can be a very good thing for a lot of reasons in a lot of places. Some of us, it is financial, but others, it's more than that. And for Jesus' example, we see that he really truly came to serve and make a difference. In fact, we see this in Matthew 20. It says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, Jesus came to serve because he knew that if people were truly cared for, they would listen and hear the message that he had to tell them of who he was, and that placing your faith and trust in him and what he's done on the cross would restore that relationship to God. He knew that. He knows people listen more when they know you care for them. Just think about in your life, the people you listen to the most or the people you think care for you the most. And for us, making a difference really is about our heart and how we love others. For so long, I'm always hanging on to my stuff, my time, my resources, my things, and it's gotten in the way of me serving and loving other people. In fact, I've talked about that here, about how I was always willing to just say I want to give, but it's out of my leftovers. Well, when my son David was about 5 years old, we were living in Atlanta at that time, and some people moved in across the street. And we had a little cul-de-sac there, and a little boy came out about David's age, and David got so excited. He was 5 years old. I was like, oh, another kid. So I ran across the street to meet him and talked to the mom. She was holding a baby, and the father was there. And David, his name, met him. His name was Axel. Don't think it was named after a lead singer of a band back in the 80s, but anyway, his name is Axel. And they actually had just moved from Mexico. And so they were playing together, and a couple days they kept meeting and playing, and then one day he asked if David could come into his house and play, and I was like, sure, that's great. So I kind of stood outside, I was talking to neighbors and stuff, and he went in there for a while. After a little while, he came out, and he took off running, this little five-year-old kid, running across straight over to our house, and he went inside. I'm thinking, well, he's on a mission, what's going on? So I went inside and walked in there, and by the time I got in there, he had a bin sitting on the floor, and there was tape and paper and a pen, and he wrote the word free on it and taped it to the bin. And then he started getting in his toy box, and he started pulling his toys out and put them in the bin. I said, well, what are you doing, man? He's like, Dad. He says, Axel just moved from Mexico, and he doesn't even have one toy. I was like, oh. So he starts putting all these toys in. And in my mind, you know, my struggle of hating, I wanted to give out of my leftovers. I'm thinking, wait a minute, that's just one of your favorite toys, David. Wait, that one costs a lot more than others. Why don't you put this one in? I'm thinking to myself, put in the ones that you don't play with. Put in the ones you don't use. He won't care because he doesn't have toys. He'll be fine. And then my heart broke. And I realized, why in the world would I tell my son, who wanted to give his very best to someone else, to teach him to give his leftovers to people? Why would I want to do that? And my heart broke. I said, that's great. Give him whatever you want. And I think about that so much, and it didn't stop there. He went and took toys to him, and then they sat on the bus together because he did not speak English. And so he was teaching him English while Axel was teaching my son David some Spanish. And then they went to school, and the teachers got him sitting together so they could teach him English and Spanish together, and they could learn all of those things where they were going through the school. And it opened the door for my son to talk to him about Jesus. A five-year-old kid whose heart was bigger than mine would ever be. I'm like, wow, that's it. That's who we want to be as people and as a church. My son gave out of his heart when I was thinking, I don't mind giving out of my leftovers. But you see, I think it's part of that process of, do I really love people and want to love people? And that's where God begins to work in my heart and my life on that. He's been growing me in that area. And I think there's a few ways, about three key areas for us to take out of today and really say, all right, what do we do with this? All right, God, you're working in my heart. Now I want to give. Now what do I do? And I think really the first one that I want us to do is to begin to think, how can we personally take a step? To begin to say that we're all at a different place, and this is going to look different for every single person. That personal step is different. It's based upon your passions, your gifts, your resources, your time. It's based upon where you live, where you work, who you interact with. It's different for everybody. But to stop and say, God, who are the people that you've uniquely put me around that I can make a difference for in my life? For us, God put some people to live right across the street from us that we could love and encourage. Andy Stanley had this to say. He said, you don't have to change the world, but you have to change something. And I think when it comes to giving and being generous, we have to look at our routine of our life, and we have to say, what is one thing that I'm gonna change and do differently? What is one thing out of my routine or my life? Maybe it's scheduling something so I can have more time for someone. Maybe it's budgeting something differently so I have more money or resources to give. Or maybe it's getting involved with something so you can make a difference with someone. For you, just stop and pray, what is that for you? The second thing I think we can do, and as a church want to help, is to resource people to act. For us, we want to help people, put everyone in the best position we can to help you make a difference. Now, I know we don't do this as well as we'd like to. As a church or as a culture, we oftentimes don't do this as well as we should. But really, you are the best person and the best place to make the biggest impact with the people around you. And so we want to resource people to help do that, to go beyond what we could ever imagine. We know that if we can work together, we can accomplish so much more. And so with that, we really kind of have three areas of this that we want to kind of help resource that. And the three areas are through our community groups, through our current ministries, and through our family of churches. And what this is our community groups is we're really kind of launching some new groups, and we're gonna be launching some new groups again in January. And so if you're here today and you're not in a group but want to, you can connect through one of the current groups that may need a few people, or wait till January. We're gonna really launch some new groups. But if you started a group here today, if it's not working for you, that's great. We'll connect you with a group later. But if you're with a group, one of the things we wanna do is give you resources of ways that your group can impact our community. We're gonna give you contact information and names and places and ways that you can do that, because I think one of the hardest things to do sometimes as a group is knowing, where do we go? What do we do? And so we're gonna resource you with a list, and I'll be sending some emails out to some of the groups in the next few weeks here to give you all of those resources to help you begin to say, how as a group can you make a difference? Can you imagine if every group we have here at the Ridge were to be out in our communities serving and make a difference, the impact that would make around us, it would be awesome. It would be huge. We want to do that even better. Other areas through our current ministries, We know that through our kids, our middle school, our high school, our college, our adults, through the different ministries, we want to encourage each of you to have opportunities that you could come together as a larger group to make an impact. Sometimes when you do that, it makes a huge difference in that. And we want to go beyond even what we're doing now and do that even better. And also through our family of churches. Now, I'm not sure if you're completely familiar with all of our family of churches, but we have churches we've connected with, Southridge and Fairmont, that's come out of the Ridge here, as well as River Ridge down in Charleston and Taze Valley. Now, last week I did mention how the campus pastor, executive pastor of River Ridge, campus pastor in Taze Valley, Chad Cobb, he and his wife Sarah, how about a week and a half ago they lost their 14-year-old daughter to a battle of cancer. So be praying for them and keep praying for them. We prayed for them last week. We want to keep praying for them. As a family of churches, we want to keep thinking, how do we come together and love each other in that process and make a difference? In fact, our Southridge church in Fairmont is going to be launching a new campus church in Bridgeport. We want to help them even resource that a little bit and help them in that process because we believe together we can make a difference. We met a few weeks ago as some pastors of these different churches, and we talked about what if we were to come together? How do we partner together better when there's floods or when there's disasters or things happening in our state that we can mobilize people to begin to act and make a difference and connect with people that are doing things? We want to do that better. We want to strengthen that in so many ways. It would give us a better opportunity to point people to Jesus if we were working together to show them that we care and want to make a difference in their life. I'm really convinced ultimately that the answer to all of these problems comes with a relationship with Jesus. It's putting your faith and trust in who he is and what he's done and that he can restore us to God because he has lived a perfect life. And my sin, the payment of my sin is death and separation from God, and my trust in Jesus alone is the answer to resolve that. It's not by me being better. I want to be a better person because I love Jesus. But I come to a relationship with Jesus because of what he's done and how good he is. And so for me, I believe that is the answer to so many things in our world. But the truth of it is, we also have a lot of physical and emotional needs as well that we want to care for people on. And if we do that and care for people well, people will be more open to listen. And the third area that I really want us to kind of mobilize here is the idea is to resource our partner organizations. We partner with a lot of different places, locally, statewide, and globally, and we want to continue to do a better job of resourcing them, financially strengthening our relationship with them, as well as walking alongside of them and partnering with them, with being the hands and feet with them. Some of our local partners that we have, and you'll see if you go to our website at theridge.church/affiliations, you can see some of these groups that we work with. Some of the local ones are Chestnut Mountain Ranch, Christian Help, Jobs for Life, Trinity Christian School. We walk alongside and support these organizations as well as we want to work and serve along with them as well. And as we begin to think about this stuff, we think, how can we make a difference? And it's big. In fact, I was at a meeting with some key people in our county about how we could help work together to help the opioid problem in our state, in our county. And a guy came to me afterwards and he's like, you go to Chestnut Ridge Church? I said, yeah. He says, thank you. I said, thank you for what? He said, your church a couple years ago did a big give and you gave a lot of money to different organizations. He said, my organization was one of those. And because of that, we were going through a hard time and we were able to grow stronger. And now we're even doing more than we ever could before. He says, thank you so much for that gift. I was like, wow, that is so cool to see the impact of walking alongside of these organizations. We also want to make a difference globally. And here's some places that we commit to strengthen our relationship with and make a difference globally with that. We've had a huge impact with Compassion International. In fact, we sponsored around 300 kids out of here in the last 3 years. However, that doesn't count all the kids that have been sponsored when you've gone on the internet and done that or at concerts or around like that area. We also brought Compassion Experience here last spring. If you were a part of it, it was a great opportunity to walk through and see what it's like what compassion does and what life is like in other countries, and kind of have a mission trip feel right here in our own front yard. We had over 2,500 people go through that. It was pretty cool. And I think we'd like to do that again in a couple years. Along with that, me and my wife have sponsored 3 kids. And of that, one of the cool things about Compassion International is that 150,000 kids, and I want you to catch this, 150,000 kids a year come to faith in Christ through the organization. Let me say that again. 150,000 kids a year across the world come to faith in Christ through Compassion. Wow. Man. So my wife and I, we have sponsored 3 kids. In fact, we sponsored one kid. His name is Kennedy, and he's from Kenya. And he wrote a letter. I tell you what, one of the best things you can do as a sponsor, no matter what organization you're with, whatever organization you use, is to write them letters. They love that. They ask for that. I met one girl in Kenya when I was on a mission trip there with Compassion, and she told me she was about 14 years old, and she'd been in the program for many years, and she said, "I've never once gotten a letter from my sponsor." My heart broke. She wanted it so bad, and I tried to encourage her that, you know what, you can support it and loved, and you have encouragement in a lot of places. But if you have a sponsored child, go home and write them. But Kennedy wrote this, sent us a letter after we gave a gift, a Christmas gift to him, an extra little gift. He said, "Dear friends, Kevin and Becca, how are you? Receive much greetings from me. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. I know you believe that I continue to pray for you, and I thank you for the gift that you sent to me. I bought a mattress and a blanket. Now I'm very happy and comfortable. I thank God for you every day." He went on to talk about a school and a verse. "I think because of that gift, he now has a mattress and a blanket and he can sleep comfortably." Those are one of the many things that impact has when you reach out in organizations and help make a difference. It's huge. Also, with Honduras, I got a chance to go to the mission trip to Honduras this past summer, and it was incredible. One thing I loved about it, I think the thing that stuck with me one of the most is that this church already has a huge impact in the community. They're making a difference all over. And for us going allowed them to strengthen their relationships, allowed them financially to do a little bit more in the community than they ever could, and allowed us to partner alongside of them and resource and reach even bigger than they were. But they're already doing that. And then when we leave, they're still continuing those relationships, and God is doing some amazing things through their lives. And so it's a huge, huge opportunity. In fact, we're taking another trip there coming up, and it's February 3rd through 11th. And for you, if you're interested at all in taking part of that trip, right after the service in the lobby, there's a room right outside the lobby. You'll see a sign that says, looks a little bit like this. You can go put your name and email address down, and there's going to be an interest meeting. You can learn more about that, about how you can be a part of that. Because one thing is you get to be a part of something great and amazing. And it's an awesome time to be able to partner with people who we have a great relationship with and a partnership with every year. And so I want to encourage you to take part of that. In fact, also, one of the pastors from their church in Honduras, they're going to be starting a church in the Dominican, in Santo Domingo. And we want to continue to see how we can strengthen that relationship and partner with them as well. And of course, also for us, we have a huge turnout every year for our Operation Christmas Child, our Samaritan's Purse. In fact, now is the time it starts. You'll notice as you came in, probably some boxes. We have some shoe boxes that we have out there. Now, I will say there's a limited amount, so you might have to grab just one or two, and if they're gone, then hopefully you can grab some more later or take some shoeboxes yourself. You can even order some plastic ones online from them that are really good and allows you to ship a lot of things. Now, they also asked for a $9 gift to help the shipping cost. It was $7 last year. It's $9 this year because of the shipping. But one of the cool things, if you do that online and print your label online, you can actually see where it tracks and where it's going to go and the country that it goes to. It's really kind of cool. However, I know some people have gotten back. It says you didn't get the exact location. It just says undisclosed locate country. And what that means is it went to a country of great need where they're not allowed to share the details. but it had a huge impact with some kids that never would probably get resources from anywhere outside. And so for us, we want to encourage our church to do some big things here. In fact, last year, we had a drop-off location of about 3,000 boxes that were here. Our church was a part of about 2,200 of those. And this year, I'd love to see us blow that out of the water and do 3,000. For you, we're going to need to take boxes, do them as families, do them together, do them as individuals, do them in groups, and let's see God use those in big, big ways. You see, we can make a difference. We can make a difference in our community, our region, our state, our world. Using our time, our resources, our heart and love for people to know and experience God, we can do that even more than ever before. There's so many ways that that God has placed you uniquely in, a position for you to uniquely do. Not everybody's gonna have the same passions. Not everybody's gonna wanna do the same things, but together, if we all reach out with the passions and gifts and heart that God has given us, you're gonna see God do some amazing things. And we're gonna go beyond whatever we can ever imagine. And the investment that we can have in our community and around the world will be greater than we could ever see alone or by ourselves. Because we realize that we know that serving others starts with the heart. And part of that is that our heart is passionate for God and for people to know and experience Him. We're gonna care for them and love them. So take today, take that step today. Get a box, sign up for a mission trip. Go home, pray about it. See who's in your life. See about how we can be people. One of the things that I wanna do, and I'm praying for my life, is that I would be more generous than ever before. That my heart would give to people, not just out of surplus and leftovers, but give to them out of love and show who God is. Let's pray. Tell me, Father God, I thank you so much for your grace and your truth and your love. I thank you, God, that you love us. I pray that you allow our hearts to be softened for you, to realize, Lord, that if we truly love people, we can make a difference for our community in ways that only you can do. God, use us. Use our church, use our people, use each of us to make an impact. We thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.